Rayan Shebi Mansour, my guy.
Finally.
We made it happen.
I've been waiting for this moment, I think, since January. And I told you that after some significant events that we've been doing throughout the semester here at good old UMass Boston, after all is said and done, we have to record an episode. And here we are.
I'm proud of us. And look at us. We're matching with the orange shades up in here. We're doing it.
I got this Nike golf shirt from a Ross just for this. Back when I was in Florida during COVID.
I'm honored that you put... Ooh.
Matching with that as well.
Ooh.
Supreme Nikes. I don't mean to put my phone in your face. I apologize, but I'm pointing it away.
You're rocking it.
Got an orange vibe going down because Tommy said that he also got the orange glasses, so... Figured, why not just go in an orange pick? Because I've never done this before, and I've been wanting to wear this. I was actually supposed to wear this shirt during Beacon Fest, but I think I forgot to do that. But managed to make it work for tonight.
And you're still vibing, you know?
Sir.
I always tell people, it's like, I got the rankings and stuff. My favorite Lebanese human of all time.
Let's go.
In the flesh.
I'm proud to be such.
Because one of the most important things, you know me, I'd be doing a bunch of shit. And I'm like, you know what? My guy, he's leaving for the summer. We got to make it happen before it happens. And you're one of the most prepared guests I've ever had in the whole chronicles of the Peterson Podium.
I appreciate it.
What is, would you say, other than music, what would you say is some of your biggest, like, dreams and biggest passions that you have?
You know? I think we're getting genuinely deep into this because I've never been a, let's say, specific person, meaning in one venture. So it's not just music or arts. Especially from a young age, I just knew that whatever I was like to do, be it some sort of other niche or market or whatever, it was still to make a difference or an impact with, you know, a larger audience, just specifically like a global audience, like just really get to influence people for the good, you know, make a difference in this world, you know, for the better of humanity. Of course, I mean, that's what, you know, TV always advertised to us, like, you know, to always aspire to do great things. But sometimes reality checks you in a way where, you know, you're kind of caught up like right in the present and in a very strange way. But people got to realize, like, you know, you got to look at that bigger, like, painting, like, you know, look at the bigger picture to really see, you know, where you go about with your life and just really aspire to great things. So it's not just music for me, but as far as just my presence on this earth, I've always wanted to just do great things to other people, make people happy, make a difference in their life in some way, shape, or form. And I hope, you know, as I get older, get wiser, get stronger, all that, I feel like I'm definitely reaching that goal. And even before I actually so-called reach it, I feel like I'm still doing it like now as we speak. You know what I mean?
I was talking to someone recently about silent supporters in a sense of you're making an impact with people. And if they kind of really aren't like, they're not sure how to go about being like, oh, you're making my life better, but they feel it. Like, you know how if you post a banger story, because we got the good story content.
Yes, we do.
If you have something really, really cool and it makes someone's day on a bad day and they don't swipe up because they're like, oh, I don't want to be seen as weird or something, but they feel it. Like, you run into them in person and be like, I just want to say you made my day on that Tuesday that was down in the dumps. I feel like me and you are some of those people that we make a great impact, a great influence on people, you know? For me personally, I've told people, I'm going to shock you. In like elementary school, I was one of the shyest people. Were you always such the great, energetic human being that I know to this day? Or did it change at some point? You know what I mean? Like, were you always this amazing energy that I always say?
You know, I'm going to add on to that point they just said, you know, about a friend, like having that example of, you know, that story making your day or whatnot. Excuse me. This is why first impressions to whoever you meet are so important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming all the way from the other side of the world, from the Middle East, coming here to Boston, which is a city I've always wanted to come to, especially for studying, for education.
Mm-hmm.
I find that every single interaction that I've ever done, the first, not even minute, the microsecond, like you have to show off that character, like it's supposed to fascinate them in such a way that they retain something so unique about you. It completely stands out like from every single other person that they've met in their lives, right?
Uh-huh.
And I guess in that, like, of itself stems from the fact that ever since, like, I was young, first of all, for me, I've never really felt in a way that, like, I guess shy or anxious. I don't really want to use the word ironic, but in a way of kind of thinking of it like the other way around, it's not that I'm so energetic because, like, I have to fill some sort of void or anything. No, it's the reason why I'm so energetic, I'm so positive, like, I got a smile on my face, I'm just so expressive. It's because why should there be a limit to, you know, my potential? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm trying to do too much or try to, like, overly do things, but I don't really find myself, like, with me personally, that there's a limit to what I want. I will do, like, whatever it is at the cost of, you know, making my mark so significant, it leaves a legacy to my name on this earth. And it sounds pretty crazy. Like, it almost sounds like it was like some sort of warlord, like, kind of quote. But yeah, I guess, you know, since a really young age, just growing up in like a traditional, you know, household, but always, you know, especially from my parents, who, you know, I got to represent my people and stuff, always, you know, motivated me to, you know, reach for potential and greatness. Like, they always insisted, you know, from a very young age. It wasn't about going, like, oh, trying to be a doctor or whatever. I'm not really trying to skip around, like, topics and stuff. But the point is that they always, you know, motivated me to just hustle and just make it big. Uh-huh. Just objectively succeed. Be it, you know, family, be it finances, whatever. It's that all in all is what it's so-called, you know, really makes it, I guess, if you're really trying to make it, you know, uh-huh, success-wise. But as far as, you know, always having that motivation, you know, having these kind of core values, you know, really putting it in there, they all kind of play out in a very interesting way that it all cohesively works. You know what I mean?
That's true. I'll never forget when in that UMB Artist Club Snapchat group chat that we're in, and Chris, I think, posted a video of you on the drums at the studio. Shout out Record Co. And I was like, this guy, he brings it. He brings the oomph. And I love that. I was like, I gotta meet this guy. What's his name?
Hell yeah, bro.
And we made it happen. And you're a man of many talents, you know what I mean? Especially in the music field, you know? Is there a certain, like, format to music that you value? Like, because I know you're good at the drums. We were talking to our boy Ennis earlier, right before the call, about when you're on the mic and stuff. Like, what's the thing when you go into the studio that you look forward to the most? Or is it all tied, would you say?
I'll be honest. I guess the way that people, you know, learn, be it music or art, specifically, you know, being the drums or keyboards or in the context of a studio.
Uh-huh.
The way that I kind of really want to express myself, like, there's just things that genuinely clicked for me, like when it came to drumming, when it came to DJing, you know, all sorts of musical elements that it just connected with me, where, you know, within the tip of, like, you know, my fingers, I can really make things come into some sort of reality, like within, like, the time and, like, the context of time and space, to really manipulate it in such a way that it's an insane, like, unique structure that, you know, it represents who I am, if that makes sense. Because I'll be honest, I'm sure there's so many people out there that, you know, try to, like, learn DJing or learn music, like, learn, I guess, like the objective elements of it, like learning this and that. But yeah, I guess learning maybe the methodologies of it, or the theory aspects of it, might make you go, you know, some direction. But to really understand it and, I guess, apply in such a way that, you know, you're just not afraid. There is no standard. It's you. It's a completely human factor and element to really express what you feel, what your energy, your mood is.
Like your perspective and stuff.
100%. I just put it all out there with no, you know, hesitation, no limits. And that's why, like, especially, like, when the club started, you know, I just went all out with showing y'all, like, how I was, like, on the drums, how I was, like, doing this and that. Because honestly, it all started, like, during COVID, when I really locked myself in, like, because, I mean, back home, like, you really could, where I live is in Qatar, during COVID, you know, you really couldn't leave the house unless it was, like, for some, like, really, you know, like, real emergency, be like, I guess, going to the supermarket or actually going to the hospital. So that's when I actually picked up on, you know, that kind of hobby and just finding some sort of, like, I guess, my own way of expression. And that's why I was like being really, you know, like a key on not being too specific with what you do. It was just that it wasn't just about music or art or fashion or whatever. It was just everything playing out in like it just a structure that it all comes together. It all paints like this new medium of this form of expression, like that is just me, what I'm thinking about, what I want to, you know, lay out on the line. So in short, you know, as far as when I was, you know, showing you guys, I was just going all out with everything that I was doing. And yeah, like during that time, I spent like a good 7 to 8 hours just learning, like, you know, how to scratch, how to do beat, finger drumming, just how to do all that. And, you know, now when I just do like, I guess, these kind of functions, like these parties and whatever, it's just flawless. Like I can just do it like it's the back of my hand. It just doesn't really need any thinking process. You know what I mean? Does this all make sense?
Yeah, like shout out to the Beacon Fest after party. You cleared out the entire room and you had all your DJ gear. And I was thinking literally like you're doing it so effortlessly. You know what I mean? It's like, it just shows how much passion you have for the craft. You know what I mean? And you're out there. And even if it's like with a big group of people or not a big group of people, because some people, they'll see a big group of people and be like, oh no, I'm understandably nervous. But like, you're bringing your A game all the time. And what's cool is that you have all different types of genres. You know what I mean? You're bringing like all different worlds blended into one, you know? And I really, really like that. I think, one of the coolest pieces of content that I see you bring on the social media world is your love for the records. You know what I mean? And that's what's cool, how it's coming back to our generation, you know, because, you know, people are very big on the iTunes or the Apple Music or the Spotify, but it's making a renaissance rebirth of records. You want to give like a name drop of where some of the best places you like to go for to get your records, or because I've seen some fire pictures with you at the you know, record store.
Dude, I, you know what? Before I even get into the record stores, like I'll here's what I'll do. I'll give you like a list of like the best ones I've ever been, like worldwide. Mm-hmm. But I guess before all of that, you know, as far as me being in like this record head, like this guy that's so into vinyl records. Where did all this come from? And I honestly, you know, it's just, you know, it's just us boys, like, it's just us guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really want to get to, like, this whole storytelling thing, like, you know, really painting, like, a deep picture.
But, oh, you could say whatever you want, my friend.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. The only reason why that I just kind of want to give, like, this backstory of, like, what was this fascination of, you know, these physical mediums? Like, oh, yeah, of course we have Spotify and all these things, but without, like, these pre-existing, like, mediums or, like, contexts, Would things like AI exist today? Would these new, like, you know, streaming services and all these things, like, on the, like, as far as the internet age, like, exist? Because for me, when it came to music, especially like physical mediums, you know, having something that, you know, how would I word this?
It's kind of like having a physical book compared to like reading it off of your phone. It's better.
It's not even that. It's like this thing that just makes another like piece of existence come to life in real time.
Yeah.
Like, that's what fascinated me about, like, you know, like CDs, like compact discs and cassettes, like these physical things that, you know, just without actually using them, they're completely obsolete. But, you know, putting them through a player, it just takes you, it travels you through time.
And the audio is better too.
Dude, it represents someone's piece of work from, like, it carries their legacy on. And so one of the first things, you know, that really, like, fascinated me, and I will never forget it to this day, back home, where I live in Qatar, because I guess if I haven't mentioned it to the audience, I'm originally from Lebanon. Like me, like for specifically like the eastern side of the world, like just because you live somewhere doesn't really make you from that country, if that makes sense. So I still represent myself as Lebanese, and I love that, and I'll die with that. But Qatar is also like my second home, so I love it so much. Like, you know, it's just a new melting pot, and like this new yin and yang kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So pretty much it was like the early 2000s, I would say. We had this GMC Acadia. I think it was like a sedan or something. Okay. It was like a family car. And they still had the, what's it called, when cars had those cassette slots. We could just play them. And for some reason, I don't know why, one of my first key memories of, I would say, Western music, like just English, right? Mm-hmm. Was a cassette of, I believe, what's his name, Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett. It says that song, Cheeseburgers and Paradise. Is that what it was?
That sounds so familiar.
Cheeseburger and Paradise. Like, I think it's a song from the 60s, but that was like the first thing, because my pops used to live in Miami like during the 90s. And,
oh, shit.
He pretty much fled Lebanon like during the Civil War era, and he relocated like back in Miami. And that's honestly how like I became a U.S. citizen, like through him, because he got a citizenship and whatnot.
Okay.
So, you know, he grew up with kind of like that culture. You're like, so in a way, it completely reinvented him. And I guess like when he came back home, you know, like maybe like he married my mother and he got like all of us, like my brothers, like all of us boys,
uh-huh.
You know, he had like those elements of, you know, I guess English or Western culture where like he pretty much learned it, like he taught it through his boys. And here we are today, you know, because of that kind of influence. And that's just something that, as far as, you know, being in like the context of music, it just fascinated me, you know, Jimmy Buffett's like Cheeseburger in Paradise. And I guess, that was just one of the like the first songs that, you know, it opened an ear for me, if that makes sense. And of course, you know, having these influences of like that current time, like a generation, like, you know, the late 2000s, like the Y2K era of, you know, hip hop and pop and all that sorts of things just added onto it. And it just made something, you know, fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's like, I'm very fascinated about like the origins of how people start to think of certain things. Like, people always think about like, oh, they did this, but they never think about the reason of why they did or how it started to become that thought, whether positive or negative. So I like that background where you mentioned the family aspect of the certain genre and the type of car back in the day. So that was pretty cool.
I mean, I would have never really kind of, at least when I was young, like figured out like how all this would play together, like just being like in those moments, you know, fascinated with all such things, because I mean, back home, we had the, what's it called, as far as, you know, records or record shops, we had quite the number of Virgin Megastore shops back home with that interactive station with the what's it called, those CDs, like, on the wall where you can play them. Those are some, like, really cool moments where, like, you know, you get to see, like, when Black Eyed Peas, like, dropped, like, their END or End album. Like, that was, like, I remember I used to, like, dance to, like, those songs. I even did choreographs and, like auditions and performances and won awards for that kind of thing. So those are definitely some great times, especially, like, you know, because there was a lot of them in the Middle East. And they were quite successful. And they were, you know, they're a time capsule, I would say. Those are some pretty enjoyable moments. But as far as, I mean, you know, back to your question about record stores, I would say off the top of my head, let's just go with five. There's five record stores that I think it just did something to me where, you know, it just left like just a positive memory, just a great experience. And it really spoke to me in a way that it, you know, it influenced culture and people.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I'm really going to rank this order. I'm just going to say the five off the top of my head.
Okay.
The first would be Chico Records. Shout out Baby Lebanon, shout out Chico, shout out Duran. That store is in Beirut, Lebanon. It is a time capsule of just old traditional, you know, music staples from previous labels that had existed during, you know, the golden age of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. A lot of Arabic records, a lot of Western as well, like rock and jazz that were, I think, like, you know, pressed in Lebanon as well during the 60s and 70s. But that takes quite the dedication to find. I think my second favorite record store was, what was it called? Platypus Records in Amsterdam. Shout out.
Ooh, I like that name. I like that name.
Fire. Shout out. Was it Raul and, I forgot there was two guys, but shout out to Platypus. Forgive me for what's it called? I'm thinking of one of the names. But,
In Amsterdam, right?
Because I remember I went to Amsterdam like with my family one time, like during high school. And this was like during my finals week, I remember. And we just went to Amsterdam. I was like, fuck it, just go, you know what I mean? It's family vacay, whatever. And it was pretty much during, like, specifically the day was April 20th. So we're April 20th, and in the red lights district, like, my parents actually, like, saw a physical representation of what hell would look like, if that makes sense. Because, you know, they're honestly, my parents are traditionally, you know, they're very sweet and innocent, but, that place would, it is the actual depiction of all hell breaking loose, you know what I mean?
Oh, because it was, like, 420 at the number one place that,
Oh yeah, dude, it's crazy. The amount of weed and just like everything that like you could possibly think of is just there.
So it was like people handling it the wrong way, because, you know, there's people that can handle it the right way, but I'm guessing they were like being super reckless type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the thing, because in Amsterdam, as far as like I'm aware, you know, like it's a part of their culture, but it's not really in a way like, you know, it destroys them. The way I see, you know, because in that like location alone, like, you know, you have like these water canals and stuff, and like just like that kind of culture alone, they kind of it's like a cohesive part of like their daily life. But they just go about it, you know what I mean? It doesn't really destroy them or anything. Like, it's not too concerning, but it's just an interesting way that it plays, you know, compared to other like places worldwide. And that, what's it called? That specific record shop, because it was like, I guess, hip hop heavy, not necessarily in the music, but as far as the culture, you know, having, you know, jazz and disco records and just a lot of places from around the world. And in a way, it kind of like centered back into like the ethos of hip hop itself, which is something that I love. And because I interacted like with the guys there, like I was like, yo, can we check out like these records and stuff? And they were playing. We were just kind of like partying, having a great time, just listening to music. And I mean, I think it's just something that they do like pretty much every day during like, you know, normal business operations. You know what I mean? It's something cool. And obviously those experiences I try to share with y'all, you know, when we're at the studio sessions and whatever, you know, the club meetings.
Yes, sir.
Those are some great moments. Say another record store would be the Music Research Library at Beacon Hill near the Commons. Shout out Baz and Zach. Legends, legends. These dudes are, what's it called? They're jazz musicians as well.
Okay.
Part of a group called Zimova. Dudes,
Okay.
they're as far as like their extent of jazz, knowledge in jazz, it's something like otherworldly. Like I love those guys. I love the store. Every time I don't even like, sometimes I don't really just go there to even buy records. I just go to just chill with them, just listen. Maybe just leave with maybe one or two records at most. But I usually like, I try saying that, but I leave with a shit ton of them, to be honest. But I guess that's just what it is, and you know, just have fun with it, just create those memories, and just have a great experience with it. So, yeah, that's definitely what it is. I mentioned that's three. Is there five? Trying to think of the other two. If there's any other two, I'll just mention them throughout because I can't really think off the top of my head right now. But yeah,
Have you ever been to the one in the North End? I don't even know what it's
the
called.
taste. That's one of my other. Yes, honestly, I'm gonna add that to that list. That's one of my favorite other records. Was it Cody? Cody and his wife, those guys, legends, sweethearts. I love them so much. That's another what's it called experience. Just like the Music Research Library, I'll just go usually like, you know, over to theirs, and that I usually have a fun time as well. Like, you know, checking out some records. I guess I found a lot of like Boston-based records, like some folk stuff, maybe from Ireland or from Italy, but
Oh,
amazing place as well. I love it for sure. That's four right there.
because this is, speaking of numbers, there's been a million of like amazing, like outside of the US places mentioned. And you've given me a hint in times past about places that you've gone in general throughout the world. Like, do you have any like cool travel stories? 'Cause I feel like you live like the travel vibes that people would like on like social media. Like they see like, oh, I wish I could travel there, and you've been to some of those places. So are there any cool stories you'd like to tell the viewers of like where you've been and like some cool stories that what happened there?
I've been to, you know, I'm blessed to say I've been to quite a number of countries. Well, I've been, I guess, east and west, but as far as west, like I've been, you know, in the American continent specifically, I've only been to the United States. I haven't really been to any other countries like in the American continents, right?
Okay.
I would say, off the top of my head, there are two countries that I think I had the most hectic experiences in my life. First was Sri Lanka, where I also went with my family on vacation there. And there was just this river, like you can just jet ski like straight for like a good, I guess, kilometer or two and just come back. But it's just nice because, you know, you just go one shot straight and just back. But it's cool because I guess in like it wasn't like the open kind of body of sea or ocean. So just having that straight path, it was a pretty cool route to like jet ski around. But the reason I mentioned that there, because that specific day when we were doing jet skiing and waterboarding, and honestly, from what I can remember, if I'm not mistaken, because those activities over there were cheap, like pennies, you know what I mean? Especially because like I guess it's part of the tourism sector or whatever. I remember that day, there was like these group of like lifeguards that were like, you know, just there like working and stuff. But two dudes specifically were playing around, and I think they were like play fighting, like you know how guys just usually just play fight wrestle whatever. Yeah, and it was pretty much on the boardwalk, and one of them just pretty much ended up under it and drowned and died within 40 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember because I was water skiing, And when I came back, I just hear my mom crying, like, yo, oh, what's going on? Like someone's drowning.
Oh, so she saw it happen in real time.
Everyone saw it happen in real time. And like, it was just so, like, it all happened so fast, apparently, because like people were just so like distracted or whatever, that those guys, like it wasn't even like on purpose. Like, it was by mistake. They're just messing around, but no one even noticed it. And they're like, oh, someone's missing. Like, they're just under the water and they just couldn't even find them anymore.
And oh my gosh.
It was so hectic because I was water skiing that time, right? And like, as I'm like, you know, like I'm actually on the water, like the boat was just stopping and like, oh, what's going on? Like someone's dying.
Okay.
And then during that time, all of a sudden, my stomach just starts kicking in this crazy way that I think it was like some sort of food poisoning from, was it some sort of fish or vegetables that I ate like the day before or like just a bit before that?
Okay.
And I just remember like, honestly, I just had to use the bathroom. Like, nature was calling, and
that's what Ennis would say.
Dude, it was during that time, like, oh, like whilst I was like, you know, I just had to use that bathroom. They found the guy, and they were pretty much just carrying a corpse, like to the
in ambulance. The bathroom.
Like I was in the bathroom, and they just like the ambulance came, and they all of a sudden they found the body, and they were just carrying him like towards the ambulance, but like they were just carrying a corpse, and I just remember hearing screams in such a way. Like it, I was like that. Like death sounds like insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like especially like in some place like that. Like, dude, it was a very interesting day. But it was so weird because like how things just happened so fast. How like I guess just life works. It was so weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what's interesting. It's like how different certain environments are in different countries. You know what I mean? And you would know more than other people I know, because there's some people that I know that have been strictly just their own home country. Do you know what I mean? So there's nothing really they can go based off of. What would you say are the biggest cultural shifts from where we are now in Mass compared to maybe where you're going in the summer or your hometown or anything? Like, because if I remember correctly, where you're going to be in the summer, you can't like, they don't drink over there, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much it's the Middle East, like just doesn't really drink.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That'd be good for me. Thomas will chill with his water. I'm like giving like a free advertising to Poland Spring. But like, you know, World of T-shirts on TikTok.
Yes.
He was here recently, I think, for St. Patrick's Day.
I think he tried going to Dubai.
Yes, and everyone was like, yep, this is the end, because this guy's addicted to alcohol, and he goes over there to the one place that you can't have alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, usually when it just comes to, like, I guess, like, what's the word? Like just troublesome actions or, like, just, like, mischievous kind of things. Because the Middle East, like, technically, like, each of the countries are pretty small. Mm-hmm. So it's more, like, you know, it's more easy, like, where to get around, like, have things more controlled, if that makes sense, like, proximity wise. So maybe that's why usually like these kind of things, like they can happen pretty quick as compared to like, I guess the United States, just like a big body of like of a country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a bit harder. I actually just remembered, right? I was mentioning about like some of my crazy stories, this just popped up to mind. The other country was Egypt. I don't know if you've ever heard, but man, the tourism in Egypt is a headache, man. Because honestly, I found this out like not too long ago. Like actually, maybe when I was younger, that like my mother's originally Egyptian, so I guess I got some Egyptian in me. I don't know about that, but especially in the pyramids, like they'll try to sell you the sand, like and try to make you pay for that, because they are some sketchy people. And I love shout out the Egyptians, but specifically like, if you know what I'm talking about, as far as the people that kind of work in these kind of areas.
So there's some people that will try to scam you. Some people will try.
Dude, they're like, I don't even know what it is. Like, they'll just try to sell you anything and everything. And, like, make you seem as if, like, there's a price they have to pay for, like, your very existence.
So kind of like an effect of, like, maybe there's someone who is brand new to UMass and they really love the event that me, you, and all the other legends in our club did, the Beacon Fest, and they were like, Well, for exclusive time, you get a blend of grass from live where the lawn was for $4. So kind of like that, where it's like you can get the sand from the pyramids for however much. So it's kind of like that, right? They'll be like, just sell you anything type shit.
No, I'll tell you this. Me coming to the United States, right? I mean, I guess like the internet just kind of like makes you know like a lot about so many places. Mm-hmm. But definitely coming here, I would say like I kind of had like this preconceived idea of like what to expect as far as like the people here, the area, etc. But I don't know, like things here specifically work in a very interesting way. Mm-hmm. And I guess from when I was like when I was young, right, especially up to now, there was always that kind of example to refer to for as far as, you know, life here in America, where you try to mimic it, especially like from what you see in media, like be it TV shows or movies, with just so many things that you see, the way people walk, talk, dress, think, all that. I mean, I'm an embodiment of that product, of that influence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's honestly the sole reason why I'm here. But I just, but in a way, it's something, you know, clicked with me. The like to just come here, and I've always wanted like to come to the United States to study here, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's this analogy, right, that I've been using, and I kind of came up with it pretty recently. Okay, if you specifically, well, definitely not here in the United States. I would say more like, in areas of like, let's say Europe, definitely, you know, the Middle East, North Africa, etc., like the Eastern world. If you were a kid, say, born in the 2000s, from 2000 up to 2006, I don't know. And definitely, we are all subject to, you know, consuming American television, you know, media, movies, all those sorts of things. Specifically,
a lot more than other generations.
Big time. Specifically, that kind of generation, I call them High School Musical kids. I myself,
yes,
I'm a High School Musical kid. Why is that? The exact way that, you know, you kind of depict a young American life, the, just as I mentioned, you know, the way you walk, talk, specifically the way that you speak, like right now, this like my style of English, like it's on a border of like for the way that my parents talk to me in English at home, the way I used to hear my teachers, because I used to have like British, New Zealanders, Australians, Americans, all that.
Always your teachers?
Yeah, it's a blend of like six different like accents or dialects into this one thing.
Mm-hmm. And
I guess with something like High School Musical, a movie that...
We're all in this together.
Yeah. It is a symbol of, you know, your childhood. If you're born during that era, and I would know because I have a whole bunch of DVRs, you know, stored like back in my parent, like in my house, right? And yeah, there was just something about that. Maybe was it like Disney and all these kind of movies where it probably just clicked with everyone, like how to, you know, speak English. It was just such a powerful force that this is like where the world is going to go as far as communication, as far as, you know, just interacting with one another.
Mm-hmm.
How we all, I guess, behave, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
that's kind of how everything plays out together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least for me. What would you have to say for this kind of thing? What was your experience like?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, obviously we'll watch those things at a young age. And obviously, when we're younger, we have nothing really to go off of because we're starting like everyone else is at that age. So it's interesting, like the stuff that you consume, especially at that age, kind of morphs into who you are, sort of. And especially how much advertising and stuff there is in the United States compared to other places. It's interesting. It's like, that's why it's so important now that there's more influencers more than ever, to make sure that it's a positive sense of things, because a lot of people are watching, especially young kids. And the sad thing is, though, I've noticed that like negativity gets more clicks and stuff. So that's where it's the risky thing. It's the risky thing. You know, you see the fights get more views. You see the arguments, the rants get more views. And that's where that's unfortunately how it is. But I know with content, me and you are really good at the content world. You're the fucking TikTok master. You really are. You really are. And it really makes me happy because there's so many people that I'm trying to put onto the app. Like I was trying to get our guy Chris on. He's like, I got reels, bro. I got reels, YouTube, it's good enough. And I'm like, trust me, it's different on TikTok. It's different. Exactly. I'm trying to get my other friend named Ryan on TikTok. He's like, nah, I'm good. They always mention reels, but it's different on TikTok.
It's a completely different economy, dude.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's content on crack because they know exactly what you want. And I know the algorithm this, algorithm that, but there's certain pieces of form of video that you'll get on TikTok that you won't get anywhere. And I'll never forget when me, you, Ennis, Chris, Dora, went to go see the Minecraft movie. And your content is so legendary that you knew when stuff was happening before it happened. You know what I mean? That's fucking awesome. And you knew, I remember we talked about it on the UMB podcast. We both know about the Italian brain rot. And that's what's cool. I see me and you as legends that like, we're not in like the middle school trends, but we're hip enough to know what the youth is listening to. You know what I mean? We're hip to it. And that's what's awesome because there's some people as they get older, understandably, like teachers and stuff, they were like, some of them, they're like, oh, I don't get this slang, but we're hip. We know what they be vibing to, bro. We fucking know. And that's what's cool. And we have a lot of great interests. We learn a lot of cool stuff. All this interest that me and you have are all cool interests. They're all positive interests. What would you say are some of the best trends that you've gotten from that beautiful app? If you can remember off the top of your head.
I mean, I think I've been using my phone for way too long, like all these years. Like, there's just too much from Vine to Instagram to this.
Yes, with the Vine, let's go with the Vine. Like, yes.
I don't know, I'm just too much on the internet. I just like in a way, I guess I just should like maybe I was on one particular side of the internet, if that makes sense. As far as memes, like. I guess every single meme that probably exists or every single trend, you know, was just something like to experience in that moment. You know what I mean?
Do you remember?
I'm just gonna say all of them, but all of them.
Do you remember Sadud? Remember Sadud? I saw him at a comedy show, Laugh Boston. Nick Coletti, Sadud.
Dude, here's the thing. From the way that I consume internet, like the internet, right? It was completely different, like. I guess for what, like, as far as the hip or the trend parts, kind of what I saw first, especially like, you know, going up to school before everyone, like just referencing it in some way, shape or form. Because, and I didn't know this now until like before then, until now, where the way I guess the way that I consume content also influenced that me to kind of start it, if that makes sense. Because everyone would, of course, like, want to, like, say, oh, I'm going to start this. Like, you started a podcast. Shout out to you. You're out here continuing it. So kudos to you, my man.
Thank you.
You're actually being consistent with it. That's what's up. And there's just a lot of people that really don't do that, especially for you know, so like a place like back home, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of kids, I guess, you know, yeah, they're influenced by the internet. But for me, it clicked in a way that, you know, you're actually tuning into someone else's reality, if that makes sense, like their way of thinking, just their character, all that. The reason why I say this, right? It just clicked with me in some way that, you know, there is some style that I could do it as far as me to influence other people, which is why specifically on TikTok, I happen to come across a lot. Like a lot of like the fashion content, like specifically the Hypebeast era. And in that way, you know, during COVID, and this was right also like everything's coming together, honestly, like that, like when I was also like learning how to DJ and stuff, like I just started getting into DJing like and music overall consistently. I was reselling sneakers and I used to make TikToks as well, like selling these kind of sneakers.
Are they still up, the videos?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes.
I've been on the I don't shy or hide away from nothing. And
good.
That's the thing, dude, when I was young, dude, I on everything, and like my parents didn't even know about this. Like they're watching this right now. I swear on, I put my assets, everything. I put my life on this shit, bro. Like I'm not even like lying about this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
back in specifically middle school, bro, teachers used to come up to me like, what are you watching? What are you wearing? What are you doing this, doing that? I had this mentality that I was the fucking shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I hope you still do. Do you?
Fuck, bro, within my existence up to this point, I'm a fucking shit every single minute of the day, even in my sleep.
Good. That's a great. I like that.
Listen, it's not even cocky. It's not even like braggadocious. I guess it's not you're trying to be baggy, but it's healthy to, you know, think of yourself in a positive light.
It's self love. Self love.
That's what's up. Yeah, bro. Like. Dude, I used to just rock up like with these new Jordans or Nikes or whatever it was. Like,
yeah, with the Nikes. Let's see yours. Let's see yours again. Come on, for the thumbnail. Ready? We'll put it together like this.
Nikes on my feet, keep my cipher complete.
I love that. Love that.
R. P. Mac Miller, but yeah.
My twin.
It was just all hip hop. It was all memes. It was all music. It was just pop culture all in one. Mm-hmm. Which I referenced, but in a way. You know, I was maybe during that time, I was really trying to, like, you know, find my community, whatever it is. And obviously I have my homies from back home who I love to death. And in their own way, they're all unique, right? But for me, it kind of also made me stand out in a way. The thing is, it never really felt, you know, from what people might say. Like,
yeah, it's weird. Like, once you were talking about the teachers, it's like the teachers that were asking you that stuff, they used their powers and made the first thing that's ever happened in all these episodes. The laptop dies, but you know what didn't die? Our passion for greatness, because we're back, brother. Dude, what did those teachers say to you when you were having that great conference?
Look, in short, right? I was fascinated by pop culture. Pop culture, of course, like not just like, I guess, my regional kind of stuff, but
I actually had a pop culture class in BSU at a small
group. Really?
Yeah.
That's what's up. Well, wait, what did you learn in that?
It was a visual life of pop culture. So basically like the hidden meanings behind it type shit. But
wait.
Go on, my good sir.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Because for me, aside from like just the regional things, like, I guess, staples, like you might maybe things they've grown up with. And that sentimental kind of thing, like that nostalgia. Oh, do you remember when this like was this thing during that age or whatever? But as far as I'd say, like kind of putting on a focus of Western culture, right? Like one of my biggest influences is this movie. This movie chain called Step Up. If you know, you know. Do you remember that movie? Mm-hmm. Step Up, the dance movie?
Yes, sir.
Where, like, they make it through dance and all that stuff. But, man, that was some sauce, bro. Fuck, what's his name? Moose and Andy. And Channing Tatum's character's name?
I'm in a brain fart. We're going back in time.
Dude, I fucking love those movies because I used to watch them. And yeah. Well, here's the thing, actually. I should also mention this because, I mean, well, for someone that lived in the Middle East, how the fuck do I know so much about American culture? Because that was, like, maybe people really don't know much about it here, but that's literally what we grew up on. As far as that generation, like, we had something called a TV, which, you know, is a worldwide fucking known thing, mm-hmm. and we had satellites, so we were blessed to really consume Western content, movies, all sorts of things, like, One of my favorite kinds of movies specifically are black actor movies, as in Martin Lawrence, Cedric the Entertainer. Yes. One of my favorite movies of all time is Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. I fucking love that movie. I can watch it any time of the day. Like those kind of like just those like home kind of movies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess like my pops used to also watch like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like all those things, especially like they just transverse like into like the newer generation, like. It just kind of it just catches on to you. It's a nice feeling, you know what I'm saying? But that's the thing, because in that way, you know, it really played out into my character, right? So as far as when it came to, you know, fashion, be it sneakers and clothes and all that kind of thing, it was always just something I was so fascinated in, and I really tried. And I guess now that I even remember it, hip hop was always my way out. I guess it wasn't really an escape, but it was more so of a way of engaging, socializing. Like, I remember I moved schools and hip-hop was the only thing that kind of just made me cool, because like I was the only guy straight up could fucking rap and like just cipher and just use my words the way I am right now, just expressing myself like so off the top of my head, and is really passionate, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not like I'm having any brain blocks or anything, it's just flowing and flowing. Like, I feel engaged. It's just what I'm doing right now, there's nothing stopping me. I'm just in constant motion. Does this make sense?
Yeah,
that's what it was. And I remember, like, I swear to God, it was middle school when I moved there. They saw me as like the first person. Yeah, I was that shy guy, because it was something completely new to me, like a new school, like it's a new whole new environment. But you know, this guy that can write raps and like try to do it like in fucking math or history or English, whatever. It's like, who is this guy? Like, he's so fucking cool. And I mean, I am. I'm not gonna lie.
I like that, but you have it, that confidence.
It takes one to know one. You know what I mean? Because you're a cool guy. Like top tier Tommy.
I like that. Listen, bro.
I just have to say, I deliberately did this when I first moved here to Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to befriend every single resident here. Like the ones that grew up here, like American life,
mm-hmm.
those are the ones like I just have a like a knack for. So I wanted to get to know you the first time, the first minute I saw you.
Thank you.
Chris, Alex, like every single person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. And you know, it's not just about the music club, but y'all, it just kicked in with us. And that's the thing, because as far as like the dynamic of school and college, right? Me being that guy that, you know, was into fashion, teachers saw him like, what is this? And he's into music, he's into this and that. Yeah. For other kids, as I mentioned, like I fucking love all of them to death or whatever. People grow up with me like from a young age. Just objectively, I fucking love you, whatever. But, you know, they kind of looked at me like, I guess, what was it? Why don't you just like live a regular school life? Why don't you just do what a normal teenager would do, whatever? But it wasn't that. I guess this in the way I saw it, it was what a normal teenager would do. Do just crazy shit, figure out new experiences. And it's vital from such a young age to really like just communicate it in a way where you have full conviction, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
To really like, you know, sell yourself, especially when it comes to like the public workforce, like getting jobs and that sort of thing. Because, you know, I worked for a while at J. Crew, and if it wasn't for my venture into fashion, my own thing, like reselling sneakers and all that shit, like I wouldn't really have had that job opportunity. I like really, you know, sold myself in such a way that I, for 100% of a fact, made me stand the fuck out from every other single applicant probably in the history of like fucking jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just what I do. Like, fuck, it wasn't like I was supposed to live a normal like life, but this is my normal. And here's the thing, you know, as far as like, I guess from what we kind of see, you know, in this current market of, you know, there being influencers, there being this and that, what I really don't want to see is much of, not oversaturation, but just a fucking blast of quantity without any significance, without any, you know, meaning or purpose, if that makes sense. So the way that I see it, for especially people back home, the younger generation who are probably just like me, maybe going through like a different context, but similar kind of experiences that I went through, you know, be creative, put it into like some sort of contributive output, be significant, like be unique, have some sort of value, put it into a purpose where you can really impact how other people, you know, like see you, how they see themselves, how they might behave. Mm-hmm. It all plays out into, you know, importance of your actual work, your existence is like your life. Maybe this is too philosophical, but hey, you know, putting
you
your
do
life.
You do you.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting your life, I guess, on your resume, or your life itself is a resume.
It's also pretty like important. A video,
you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a document of everything that you do. That's why you actually have to live your life to the fullest. Like, I remember I hit a point, especially freshman year, where, you know, I was questioning a lot of things, like, you know, is fashion, is music really worth going into, just having fun with it? But then again, like, time is so short. That's why true. Not just do anything and everything? And it, depending on the reality that, you know, you exist in, just make the most of it as much as you can. And as far as, you know, me, you know, because I'm blessed, like, to be here right now, right this second. Mm-hmm. I'm just making the most that I can. And hopefully within my capabilities, you know, and help others for the greater good.
That's true. And I always tell people, it's like, you never know when someone's last time it is. So try to not burn your bridges with people. Try not to try to live every moment, like you said, to the fullest, because a little goes a long way. Do you know what I mean? It's like what we were talking about earlier about the silent supporters. You know, you never know what life you can touch.
Yeah.
You know, and it was it's full circle, because in the beginning you were talking about the impact of people. And I think like just how much you influence someone and knowing the change that you make in someone's life is essential. And that's what's like the most important thing about life. It's like touching people's lives, because it goes another full circle with that, where it's like me and you can touch someone's life and then they'll learn from us, and then they'll probably, help someone down the line with their life too. And that's what's like super beautiful. It's like
the topics that we've talked about so far, we've talked about music, fashion, record store, TikTok, and we all blended away in a amazing full circle positive format. You know what I mean? Because I've noticed this, that Thomas Peterson can be a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But in good avenues. Do you know what I mean? So what are your thoughts, you would say, on that type of stuff of that? Because all the positive stuff that you see with me, obviously genuine, obviously true. And I just try to do everything that I can to as touch as many lives as possible. And I mean that in a normal way, not in a weird way. Okay? So, but would you say, how are you, like, how do you handle that stuff? With, like, if you are a perfectionist, would you say
it,
you are?
It took me a lot to learn about myself from I guess, the time of school. You know, I was a bit of a, grades-wise, you know, I thought I was too objective and too, you know, specific. Like, there wasn't really any flavor to what I used to do as far as schoolwork. And, you know, coming to college, when it comes to things like essays and every sort of output that I do, it's so identifying to me. And the reason why, like, I'm trying to, you know, as far as answering your question, you know, in terms of perfectionism, one of my highest influences for someone in this generation, right? Because maybe our parents, you know, they had people that they used to look up to, you know, celebrities, be it, you know, your Sylvester Stallones or your Michael Jacksons, your Princes, your, you know, Rick James, Rob, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme, like all these actions, you know, superstars, right? That were just, you know, peak human form, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it is the late and great Virgil Abloh. The reason why I say this is because he had a philosophy and, you know, I'd say roughly around last year, like, I kind of rewatched some of his old, like, archives and everything.
Oh, you were saying this at your place, I remember. I don't want to give it away, but yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. His philosophy on, like, in a way, being perfect is ironically the most imperfect thing that you can do. It's all about, like, this yin and yang structure. Like, black and white isn't a good or bad, but putting together, it's a whole new structure. It's a whole new idea that you can make. Things like just coming together, you can, like, what is considered imperfect is probably the most perfect way that it is, embracing how you look, how you feel, how you speak, how you may be. Because I thought that there was a standard that was, you know, that's supposed to be held among, you know, in a previous life, like the circle of mind, like how to look, how to talk, or whatever. But who the fuck is X, Y, or Z, or Z person, you know, to say, well, what is what, or who is who? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here, I'm doing my shit, and I kind of, you know, hit that kind of potential, especially like towards high school, you know what I mean? That's when I really started trusting in myself. And it is important, you know, to be at peace with yourself, to really trust your intuition, to really express yourself, be vocal. Like, you know, with all that loud noise that may be in here and outside that, you know, the other people don't really get to hear, you know what I mean? Mm. Or listen to. You really need to tap into your inner, like, your inner ear first, yourself. Really calm things down. Listen to what you're, you know, why you think the way that you do, what kind of conclusions are you reaching? But most important, just, you know, be at ease with yourself, like relax and just flow through things. That's kind of the reason why, as far as me saying, Virgil Abloh is one of my favorite, is one of my inspirations of all time, right? His last exhibition, which was called Figures of Speech, which was pretty much like his collection of all his works, like throughout his lifetime, right? The last location that he ever did it in was in Qatar. And 3 weeks after his grand opening, he passed away, right? And I remember that thing was there for a good couple of months. And I remember I would pay visits to that every single fucking day, like as much as I could. And
especially, was that when you visited and you saw the Yeezus cover?
Dude, I saw everything, all his works, Yeezus, Pyrex Vision, all of it. And shout out to my fucking homies back home. Ziad, you're my fucking heart, like to death. I fucking love you. You're my boy. So he's one of my creative partners since middle school, right? And it just did something, you know, to really, first of all, a kid from the Middle East to be recognized all the way from some person from the other side of the world to come and say to really identify that region or that area alone has so much potential and culture and identity. Uh-huh. It represented something in me that, you know, I had to kind of pay it forward and pioneer it in a strategy that now, you know, that I'm speaking it into words, I have to live up to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's not just even him, but years back, Kanye West also came to my school. How many people can say that in their existence?
Wait, what?
Dude.
You met him?
I wish to God I did. During the Yeezus era, right? It was 2012 to 16 was such an interesting part in my life, right? As far as so much that just happened around the world, so many stories that you hear. Mm-hmm. It was also during that time where, first of all, let me just say, I think my two favorite albums of all time, it just did something to me, like you can't take it out of me. I try to mimic it in such a way, and I think so many other of my other influences as well tried mimicking it. In simple, they are Yeezus and The Life of Pablo.
I knew you were going to say Life of Pablo.
Holy fuck, dude. Those albums, I till the death of me. Like,
no more parties in LA.
I just love every single track from one to the end, right? And dude, I genuinely used to do essays, like my high school essay, like my final kind of report was on Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. I even do like hip hop essays up till now. It's in me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, what's it called? The reason I'm saying about, like, it's not just Virgil Abloh as well, that, like, as an influence, but Kanye West as well, right? Mm-hmm. He pretty much during the Yeezus era, when he was, I think, going around the world, and he was also recording it in Paris, France. That's also when he had like this film that he did for the Cannes Film Festival, and he recorded it in my school, on my campus.
Wow.
Back home, 2013. And there's a picture that you can find online with him, Kid Cudi, I believe 2 Chainz as well, and Big Sean. And what were all four of those specifically doing? Three, like excluding Kid Cudi. They recorded the Lamborghini Mercy video back home in an underground parking lot at my school. And I must have been 8 years old at that time. And I might have just discovered 808s and Heartbreak. I might have just discovered, you know, Graduation, Yeezus, like just, you know, discovering more and more music, getting into it, you know, finding my flavor. But who would have known that that kind of super secret, you know, project would go underway? You know what I mean? Oh my
gosh, what a small world, bro.
In such a way, like, the thing is, like, who knows if this video may reach out to them, but to for me to say right now that may put something in my heart and in my soul that I just had to do something with it, mm-hmm. today. And like, if it wasn't for those existing events, I don't know what I would be doing today. But that's the reason why you have to live every day to the fucking max.
That's
you have
right.
to do everything full power, full action. Make a contribution. Change someone's life. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Make some sort of positive outcome for somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like the things where it's like you never know what someone else is going through too. It's like you making even like the smallest bit of gesture could really help someone, really assist someone. You know what I mean? So our goal is to bring the positive light instead of like, you know, instead of being like a teacher walking through like, oh, what are you watching?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Me and you, we're like, yeah, let's go. Like, uplift because the energy is contagious, bro.
Yes.
It's contagious in a good way. And you're just out there. We're doing our thing. Because a perfect segue, Beacon Fest, people, and not only people in real life, but people on the videos, they got to see us in true form.
Hell yeah.
We're out and about, we're doing our thing. You're emceeing. I'm taking my shirt off in Chris's thing. As a matter of fact, it's still kind of there a little bit.
Yo.
Still kind of there a little bit.
That's crazy.
We were doing our thing, you know what I mean? And the hype for the fest, well-deserved. It was a whole amazing rollout for it.
Yeah, it was.
How would you describe the experience, would you say?
You know, this week had so much, right? And there's more to not just Beacon Fest, but the reason why I had to go all out, right? It was my first kind of MC, like, I guess that kind of event alone, it just adds on to my resume of life.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who, you know, groups 500 people in real life time through his voice, getting them to all just, you know, party, have the greatest time of their life, have the greatest summer ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most blessing experience. And here's the thing. I think from a young age, because of what you may see from people, you know, who are scared or have stage fright or, you know, are anxious in a public setting, don't. Seriously, don't. Whatever it is, just block the noise, like, as much as you can, as hard as you can. dump it in the fucking trash immediately. And I'm getting so passionate when I say this, because for me, I had no barrier to who can listen to my sound. I always just wanted to get on the mic, express myself however I can, no matter what context.
Just let it out to as many human beings as you can.
Dude, from a young age, I can do things like sing. I can do things like play, you know, like, I guess, drums. I can play a couple of instruments, right? But for me, I always just wanted my voice to be heard. I was never scared of who would listen to me. What would people think of me? Like, those are genuine sounds that, you know, are doubts. Those are the devils in the detail. Those are actual devils that, dude, you just gotta throw that out and just...
Yeah, not letting other people's opinions dictate.
Not even your own doubts. No, first of all, never doubt yourself, and never let, for whatever reason, anyone else. Because the way that I, especially when I started, you know, really putting things into output as far as performances, right? You would actually be surprised how much there really isn't that many haters as, you know, your mind would make it seem, or as maybe the media would make it seem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so much positivity in real lifetime that people will actually pay respect. They will respect what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That all along, you kind of conclude that it was just your own voices that, you know, said that, oh, what if this, what if that? And maybe it's just human nature, right? To really, you know, consider things, you know, make things work smooth and whatnot. But
mm-hmm.
you just have to know that. And that's why you have to keep doing things. You have to keep going through experiences to make yourself more assured and aware.
Because the practice makes perfect.
Exactly. That there's really not much to worry about, and all rolls smooth.
Yeah, so, it's like I've seen a thing where it's like never entertain a negative thought. Because if you do, it could potentially... It can potentially like snowball.
Big time. You cannot.
And most of anxiety is fake. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fake things that most of the time won't even happen in the first place. You know what I mean?
And let me just add on to this, because as far as anxiety, right? Especially, I remember it was my freshman year where I was like, dude, you know, is music even worth it? Like, what's my contribution? Why have I entertained this all along? Why go through production? You know, there's so much people out there that do it, you know, better than me. But, you know, you kind of have to, first of all, I guess, never put too much pressure on yourself. I guess you really can't reinvent the wheel. What you can do is you have to, first of all, accept, you know, your situations that you're in.
And potentially add to the wheel.
You know what I mean? Dude, you what you have to do is you need to like really tap in. That's why like all these stories that I'm telling you, it's not like I'm not supposed to spice up or flavor anything, like, you know, kind of like add onto the wheel, maybe make it gold or whatever. But that's the thing, right? Like, what you already have, just, you know, just say it. All these stories that I have, you know, they're actual, you know, realities that I experience, and maybe they're not the best kinds, but in a way, they kind of, you know, make it beautiful to really say, you know, how life works and what a life, you know, you've lived. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why with Be Confessed, that's how it all comes. You know, it was I wanted every single person, especially for a school like UMass, every single person to turn up. Regardless of who you are, whatever it is, whatever maybe anxieties that you might have had, especially at the pressures of a college student, nothing. Just come, have a great time, put all the doubts and all the stresses aside, you know. And it's not just in that moment, because if you can do it in that moment, it also represents how you can do it for the rest of your life.
That's true.
Go with the ease of things, you know, with everything that you do, right? That's why, as far as like what I want to do with my life when it comes to, I guess, everything that I'm always interested in, just make it into this one output of just bam right there. I just go with it, you know, ease. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Because
all I do.
That's what's amazing. It's like before, during, and after the show, me and you and others were bringing it.
We had an amazing time.
And I remember the interview that we had, and someone came over there like, oh, I can hear the vibes from back there. It's like, and you had the cadence down pat, you had the words, you said the right words. You were like, if you want to have a good time, you know where to go, basically. You know what I mean? You know, Be Confessed is where it's at. You know what I mean? And it's like what I was saying earlier about how you bring a bunch of different genres to the table, and you said it perfectly. It's like, it doesn't matter what you're going through, who you are, like, I want you to turn up and enjoy
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm not even like an MC, like you know, I guess it's my first actual experience, but it's just things, you know, that I've consumed, especially like me as a Lebanese person, right? Like, you know, we fucking love to party, right? And there's a lot of experiences, you know, from summer camps where, you know, we used to have like these daily choreographs and daily performances. Like, imagine it was Beacon Fest every single day as like a, what's it called? Like a dismissal session, you know what I mean?
That's fire.
Like before you can leave camp, right? It's like, what the fuck? And it, that's the thing, you know, the show always goes on. The show never stops. The show must go on. You kind of, your life is a show itself. Your life is a fucking movie. And listen, whoever's watching this, your life is a movie. I'm sending this message out to people who really give a shit about themselves and have awakened into this reality where they really, really want to take control of their life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're considering people who really can't, you know, do much, you know, because of maybe other worldly problems. But as far as those, you know, I'm sure like they, you know, they have like the most potential out there in the world, maybe than most of us, right? But there's a contingent of people who may have everything. They don't do jack shit with it.
Comfortable.
Dude, this is my message to the people who really want to change, like, who really want to take, you know, control of what they do as far as creativity, like someone like me, you know? And it's not to like dismiss things like school, education. It's to put everything and just go all out, all, you know, with every single aspect of your life. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So you do. That's what you gotta do, bro.
What a coincidence, because on the side of these, it says Sedlak.
Yeah.
And it's a TikToker. Because we were talking about content creators earlier with TikTok and stuff. And one of his things is our thoughts create our reality. You know what I mean? So if you think a certain way, the perspective that you have, it could shape your reality because the momentum from those thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's like what you said of like going all out because, water has fucking glasses. But yeah, it's like thinking like that. You know, and it branches out, you know, and I like that. We're bringing the fire. Beacon Fest was absolutely amazing from start to finish. And you're one of the reasons that I can thank for that. I guess you could say that the Beacon Fest was, you know, thebomb.com. You know what I mean? Wow. Would you say, you know?
Look, I'll tell you this much. This is why I was keen on referring to first impressions, right?
Uh-huh.
As far as, you know, thoughts dictating your own reality, that's why you have to clear things like doubts, you know. You have to just shoot your shots. You have to just go, you know, just go with the flow with everything. Just say fuck it and just roll with it, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I did with meeting you guys. That's kind of how I guess I got the gig with Beacon Fest, right? And the reason I was talking on, like, you know, discussing Beacon Fest, because today is Saturday, May 17th. Yesterday, guess who performed back home? I think I might have told you this.
So.
Travis Scott, a guy from Houston, Texas, telling me that a guy from Houston, Texas who, you know, grew up in that kind of economy during that time, he made fucking bangers like Astroworld, and not just even that, you know, Rodeo, Utopia, and it's not that it's an overnight thing, but, you know, because of course for someone like me, it influenced me greatly, things with, you know, the same kind of context as far as Virgil Abloh and Kanye West and like that kind of niche of music, if that makes sense, you know. Like that kind of era with obviously other pop influences, not just the hip hop and rap genre, but everyone else, like, you know what I mean? Like as far as pop, maybe rock, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But for a guy like him, you know, I remember that like he issued like the tickets, like, or like he said that the concert was happening maybe a month before that, like in like the beginning of April.
Okay.
That he fucking sold out a 45,000 like seat stadium, like back home. It's a soccer or a football stadium. Like, do you know what it means to really gather that number of people there through your power, through your music, through your art?
Especially
for someone like me.
Especially just a month of advance.
My brothers went to that shit. Like, dude, on everything, if I was there, if I had the chance to go there right now, I would have raged the fuck out. Like, you wouldn't even understand, dude. Like, and that's the thing. That's just my energy, bro. Like, I'm just calm right now, but I always got that rage in me. I got that fucking fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Maybe I might have had a couple of, like, I'm a pretty, I used to have some tantrum episodes, like, back then, but thing is, like, I was just expressive, like.
But you got past the adversity, I'm proud of you for that.
But look, it especially for someone like me, you know, you have to learn, you know, control, like, a lot of philosophies, because I am, till now, you know, fucking heavy into martial arts, like, you know, you realize your true potential with, like, you know, your balance of emotions and, you know, levels of control, you know what I'm saying, but that's what makes, you know, I guess, it transversed into music so fascinating because, you know, you really get to, you know, express your levels of, you know, emotionality, you know, your levels of calmness, or you can be angry, just rage. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's
what's amazing about this.
That's another similarity. That,
and shout out to Travis for recognizing, you know, back home, for partying there and turning it up. You know, fuck yeah. I hope I get to, you know, do that kind of thing for my people, you know, eventually.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. And then when you make it big, I'll be like, oh, I remember when the guy was starting out, Chevy Mansoor.
Type shit.
That's another similarity that we have, my friend. We both have martial arts backgrounds.
Yeah.
Because I think I told you recently, I was at your place. I was like, yeah, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And you were teaching Ennis how to do...
It's a rear naked choke. That's
yeah, the perfect way to hold the mark, you know what I mean?
Let me just say this to the fans. I've never seen a worse rear naked choke than that.
Oh, shit.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, too much space. Ennis, we love you, but there was too much space in that.
Way too much. I've seen 5-year-olds in jiu-jitsu classes that do it better than him. But I fucking love you, Ennis. You are my boy. I fucking love you.
Ennis, you're the bomb.com, Ennis. You were the guilt. You're bomb.com, Ennis.
Yeah. And since then, I taught you how to do, you know, just a good old rear naked choke. So definitely stick with that.
We're proud of you, Ennis. That's what's beautiful. Beautiful about this campus. You learn so much. You know what I mean? And a little goes a long way. A little goes a long way, my friend. There's, because you were talking about Virgil, you were talking about Kanye, you were talking about,
yeah.
Who was the third inspiration?
Travis Scott, what's it called? I had to kind of mimic, you know, because I was like inspired with him coming back back home to perform. Like, I just had to go all out with that kind of thing for Bacon Fest, right?
And there's someone that comes to mind that kind of knows all those people, that the former musician that I think you might have met. Oh, what was his name? I think it fuck.
He is quite well known in this industry, and not just with them, but I think every single, you know, person with a level of influence or fame or just stardom or any celebrity, pretty much, any sort of context related to media and, you know, entertainment. Yeah.
I think it starts with a D.
The D.
Yeah. Do you remember what his name is? I'm having a brain fart here.
The D. The I.
So, wait, wasn't there like a picture with him before back in the day? Like.
Listen,
how'd that come about?
Listen, do you know that one song, Ultralight Beam, where Chance the Rapper says, I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail?
Yes.
I met Sean Combs himself, I am never going to fail.
You know what? I'm going to put the glasses back on. You can show the picture with us having the glasses on, and that will be the thumbnail.
Oh,
that will be the thumbnail. Bet.
Wait, can we just put the thumbnail like as a JPEG on the thing?
Yeah, but just in case I forget, just in case.
Well, I'm gonna mute my phone in case of copyright, because the post had a song on it, but good, I don't want to fuck up any emotion. But check this out. Yes, it's me and Mr. Sean Combs himself.
And how old were you say you were when that happened?
So, I told y'all the story a number of times, and I told y'all the story back in the fall. This was back in 2017. I was 13 at the time. It was, and by the way, I think my family's watching this, but after this episode releases, when it comes to family only, because I don't really care about like fans or haters, but these mom, dad, you know, cousins, aunts, uncles, please don't give me shit for it, please. You know, this is just for entertainment purposes. You know, we're just having fun with it. And obviously I will be, you know, for whatever shan't be discussed, won't, because I have respect for our parents and I love my family. But
great guy.
I will just check, because the video is on YouTube, so I'm gonna try find the video, right?
That you're in?
Yep. I was 13 at the time. Okay. It was my second cousin's wedding. And I know that the only reason, by the way, it's not like I even know her. It's just technically she's my second cousin. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, just by as far as the family tree, you know, kind of functions. Mm-hmm. That's how she would relate to me. And I pretty much snuck into the wedding. is kind of how it happened.
Wow.
Because, you know, Lebanese weddings and specifically Arab weddings, you know, are fucking fun, dude.
Right? Young savage, you.
Yeah. Thank fuck I didn't miss on that opportunity because there it wasn't just Diddy alone that turned up. There were a number of celebrities that were there. To the Arab world that is listening, you know, Haifa Wahebe turned up. Raghab Alame, who pretty much one of those guys, the second guy that I just mentioned, actually worked with my grandpa when he first, you know, kind of got into the music industry, especially in the Middle East. Because my grandpops used to run a bootleg cassette company. Imagine if you could make money ripping YouTube MP3s. That's pretty much what my pops did with cassette tapes. And yeah, pretty much got him through the Civil War, you know, with my mom and, you know, my aunts, who I fucking love to death, and my grandma as well. And yeah, I mean, music is in me all along, and just making alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when it comes to making itself, because one of my other grandpops, God rest his soul, you know, he used to have like this kind of glassworks company where he used to like make glass like frames. But I definitely have this kind of knack for it in terms of not just minimalism, but, you know, these kinds of designs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, I don't know, it always just intrigued me in a way, as far as architecture, like kind of blending all sorts of worlds together. You know what I'm saying?
Best of both worlds, just like your twin, Rayan Mansour. Yeah, said earlier. Wait, best of both worlds.
Dude, is this a video? Because, yeah, pretty much the story goes, because it wasn't even during the wedding, right? That wedding first was a fucking, it was amazing, right? Definitely, if you can, if whoever's watching, you know, you can do your own research. Like, you can find some shit online about it, right? If you, you know, dig deep. But there was a birthday party that happened after the wedding. It was a year, sorry, later after that wedding. That happened. Okay. I think it was the same girl. Or no, it was my second cousin's mother, who would actually be the cousin of my mother. So that's kind of how it works. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was her birthday. And then, because everyone was just intrigued, like, how the fuck did you get Diddy to come perform? Let's just say that they paid him a nice price. You know what I'm saying? And apparently it was between him and Busta Rhymes to turn up and perform. Me personally, I would have wanted to see Busta Rhymes, you know?
But, especially nowadays.
Yeah, but it was still cool, you know. Then he turned up. First of all, you know, he gave my second cousin, the bride, gave her a shot of his own Ciroc vodka that he just turned up, you know, mm-hmm. to Lebanon with. You know, he's carrying his own line of vodka. Like, I don't know if it's discontinued now, but, you know, he used to sell that shit back then.
Yeah.
But excuse me. Yeah, he pretty much did the, you know, turned up, you know, performed all of his classics and whatnot, and. The thing is, I'm trying to find this video online because it is there. But, you know, with all these like things on the news going on about him, you know, it's kind of fucking up the algorithm. Wait.
That's facts.
I might have found it. Is it? Fuck yeah. This is it.
Oh, shit.
And you can see it right here in the corner is a young me. But
oh, shit.
It's not going to be.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really gonna show, but yeah, you see all my uncles and aunts and cousins, and everybody's looking good, you know what I mean, for that wedding. And then, yeah, pretty much.
It's a fly guy right there.
Yeah, look at this. He just turns up. Just turns up to the fucking wedding.
Oh my gosh.
And dude, I mean, I was 13 at the time, but he was fucking tall, bro. I mean, for my perspective.
Wait, so is that the second cousin?
Yep.
Wow.
The one. He performed all his classics. Every step you take. And there's even one, what's it called? The first song that I knew, that I recognized, was this one. I think he was featured on with Nas, or is it the other way around? It's the one that goes, if you hate me now, but I won't
stop now.
Because I'm going to stop. That one. You know that one, right?
Yes.
Dude, I remember he performed that. I was bumping my head to that. Oh, that was fun.
The first one that I can remember was, I'm a wrestling fan, so it's like, I was like, I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home.
Now, he's got a lot of classics, dude.
That's facts. That's facts. Yeah.
Wow. The diddler. Yeah. That's right. I mean, my brother took a picture. I don't know if I should mention this. Maybe because I'm a bit of a rascal. But just say, you know, I think he traveled with a team. And one assistant, you know, I say this just as a compliment, but she was good looking, you know. She was quite pretty. I will be honest.
What a nice
you
guy.
Know, for a 13-year-old boy as myself during that time, you know, me and my brother had a great experience that day. My older brother, shout out Kareem. We just knew that the world is our oyster, and you know, these kind of moments, you know, they're ours for the taking. For the taking, yeah. Fuck, why am I stuttering? But yeah, they're for the taking. That's what I'm trying to say.
And more to come. It's
like, you just can't stop.
You know, it's like,
right?
I can't stop, like the Linwood
Shout end. Out the fucking Flan, bro.
That's right.
Shout out the fucking Flan. I miss my home, dude. But yeah.
See, but the thing is, I'm glad that we made this happen before you visit home for the summer.
Fuck yeah.
And there's a time where I'm like, damn, I miss my boy Chevy. I just look back at this episode, be like, damn, I'm going to see him in the fall for our birthday month, which we just found this out literally while we were charging the laptop that my guy's birthday is a week after mine. What a coincidence.
Right?
So when you come back, that month that you come back,
dude, legends are born in September. That's legends right. are born in September.
That is so Fuck right, yeah. bro. Bro, that is another one of the similarities we have because we got so many similarities. We bring the energy. We bring the greatness. See, it's not as vibrant, right? It's not as vibrant.
Yeah, dude, these fucking blue light glasses are crazy, but.
Like, we bring the greatness.
They kind of rest in my eyes, but yeah.
We bring the vibes. We bring the energy. We bring the positivity. We bring martial arts. We bring the hype. We bring the dance. We bring the great voices.
Yeah,
One more. Great motivational quotes. Yeah. And we're September babies. That was a great clap.
Yes, sir.
Great clap. And I must say, I almost had a brain fart. I almost forgot this, but this is a question that I ask all the great guests.
What's friend. Up?
This is what's beautiful. You don't know it's coming. I love it. Makes it even more genuine.
Tell me.
I ask every guest, and I forgot to do it in the big ass group one that we did at UMB, but I ask every guest this. Chevy?
Yes, sir.
What is the meaning of life? Wait, no. I mixed it up. The real question is, what makes life so beautiful?
What makes life so beautiful? Well, find out in the next episode. I'm just joking. Because my mom's calling me. My mom. Yeah. Doing podcast chat soon.
Shout out Chevy's mom.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Meaning of life. Look, I think we all have, maybe I'm not spiritually versed, but you know, each person's reality is different. And I guess it takes some sort of, you know, really spiritual sense to kind of figure out what your reality is, mm-hmm. who, you know, who you are as a person, Thomas Peterson, who I am as Rayan Mansour, right? What kind of life do I live? The reason why I think life is beautiful is because with each soul's existence, it contributes to the functioning of Earth. Mm-hmm. That's why I was mentioning, like, I'm not trying to be philosophical and shit or like Plato or blah, 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 but, you know, in a way, without your existence, without your presence, your mind, your creativity, whatever it is, your significant contribution, your soul on this earth, things function so differently. And that's why, you know, when we're talking about themes and elements of perfectionism, your the fabric of your very existence alone is perfect. It's what makes the world run, right? And that's why, as a person, you have to, you know, really understand, you know, awaken kind of that voice. You know, for me, the reason why I kind of had like these, you know, doubts or anxieties, you know, when it comes to music, and it's kind of normal where, you know, you just kind of figure out, you know, what works, you know, what makes you, you know, your voice, you know, stand out. The only reason why that kind of even happens is because, you know, I really started questioning things. I started, you know, wanting more out of my presence on this earth, mm-hmm. what I can deliver to, you know, the world. And that's what makes life beautiful, because you're here, because you have so much to offer, and you just need to understand how, and you know, time will tell. And I'll say this because during my freshman year, there was a lot, you know, coming from the other side of the world where I wasn't too sure, you know, who was I going to meet? Who was I going to be, you know, befriend? Who was I going to be hanging around with? And it takes a lot, you know, to It takes a lot, you know, to say, look at things, you know, with a more, you know, paced, you know, I guess, speed, you know, calm things down. Time will tell. And look, you know, for someone like me, now, you know, from a young age, you know, I couldn't wait, you know, to get this 8-year-old kid to come to the United States, you know, during that freshman year where, I guess, anxiety is built up, stresses, whatever. I kind of had to, you know, dive back into that core, you know, belief, you know, if that 8-year-old version of Rayan was to see me, right, or that 10-year-old, that always
like
wanted
what Virgil was saying, doing it for the 8-year-old self.
Fuck yeah, dude, everything I do is for the 17-year-old version of myself. Dude, if my younger version was seeing, you know, like what I am right now, like he would be shocked because this is not what he dreamt of, you know, as far as, you know, being on this earth, you know, doing what he wanted to do, being in the States. So I was like, fuck the outer voices, fuck all the doubts and all that sort of thing. And to all people, you know, who I guess are genuinely barriers, cut them out. And you don't really have to say like, oh, fuck you, we're done, we're not talking.
Just give the space, you know, be like.
Everything rolls smoothly, dude. Yeah, you'll have no idea how much people aren't like, and this isn't to downplay on shit, but people are not attached to you. People are not, you know, confined to you as a person. Like, they have their own shit. They have their own responsibilities to figure out and deal with. You know what I mean? Things work out by itself, right? And for me, it's not that I'm a nice guy or whatever, or like, oh, I'm so nice, or however fuckers, you know, use that kind of label. But I am patient. I am very relaxed, and I ease at one with myself. You know, that's why for someone like me who's and. I don't even mean for this conversation to jump in so many ways, but kind of figure okay. like see how you know these things kind of play out together. Where the thing is, I'm at such ease, you know, with myself and with others that, you know, I don't like. There's just so much that I can't be a dick or an asshole about anything. Okay, that's just weird to use those two specific parts, dick and asshole. But I'm not gonna be I'm not gonna be a schmuck to you know like just. Make things not happen. I'll give you an example where specifically when it comes to DJs, you actually have to be an asshole if you were like DJing at like a house party or something to not take requests, because there's a bunch of my homies where shout out to y'all, you know, y'all started doing that and you guys make it play good, but there's a bunch of others where, excuse me, fuck you if you actually don't take requests and you don't give the party to the people, you know what I mean? Because I remember it was prom for me, right? I won a kickboxing fight, I was graduating, and prom. But unfortunately, you know, you can't have everything in life. You can't really DJ as well there because, you know, it's just how it is. But, you know, I was an insane fucking DJ since I started, right? So it's not to say that I was bad, but, you know, it is what it is. But I remember there was that one dude that just pretty much wasn't tapped in. You know what I mean? Like they were not hip. You know, he was just playing literally what, like, you know, we sent like as far as songs beforehand. And he just played those, and there just wasn't motion. There wasn't sauce. There wasn't, like, any creativity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, fuck if dude, who knows who's even going to be watching this video. But let this be a lesson, right? You know, for someone like me, take things easy. Don't be this obnoxious dickhead who doesn't take requests. Like, just have fun with the party, you know? And give the people what they want. It's about them. That's what Beacon Fest was all about, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to, like, I guess, give... I guess as advice, you know what I'm saying? Dude, there was so much that we chatted about, and I guess was there one more thing that I wanted to I guess give you as a story, but as far as there was just about like the whole fucking DJing thing. I don't remember. Is there anything else I was supposed to say or what?
I was about to ask you the same thing, that if there was anything else at the sensational Chevy. Magnificent Mansoor would like to add. I can't think of anything except one. I'm gonna give like a code word for it, just in case you want to mention it, my friend.
Well, I think we know what's the call we're talking about, but
The only reason why I was like, Shaboo. No, but truth be told, the only reason I was mentioning is all this stuff is because, like, someone like me, right? Okay. Technically, I'm me, and not just me. Celebrities who you could, like, people fucking worship aren't supposed to be at the level that they are today had they not, you know, done the things that they did. And we were talking about, like, thoughts and stuff and acting on thoughts and thoughts becoming a reality. Mm-hmm. Had they not, you know, just simply acted on things, where the fuck would we be today? And I'm not trying to use this word to, like the word fuck as, like, I swear so much, but I'm just using it as in, like such a passionate thing. Mm-hmm. So excuse me for that, but I'm just using it as a passionate thing.
You put in the emphasis.
Yeah, I truth be told, I don't even cuss that much, I'll be honest, but I was just using it right now because...
He's telling the truth.
Dude, where would we be right now had people not done great things that they did? Because for me personally, I'm not even supposed to be... Dude, I swear I'm not even supposed to be here right now. It's a Lebanese guy who, I guess, survived, you know, wars, you know, being a byproduct of a generation of parents. And I'll add on to this as well, right? I think this is probably going to be like my closing statement or whatever.
Okay.
Being a child as a byproduct of parents, you know, who escaped war and conflict, and possibly me as well, I'm not even supposed to, like, you know, be here physically, you know, talking right now. Because, and it isn't something, you know, for as much as, you know, like, I guess hip-hop culture, you know, is highly significant for its gangster life and that sort of thing. It definitely isn't something, you know, I'd say as far as war and conflict, it isn't, you know, something cool to brag about. It's pretty traumatic. And as far as my experiences, you know, they don't even compare to people who, you know, have lost not just families, but, you know, legs and, like, limbs and eyes, you know, for this kind of thing. Because it's pretty fucking scary. Like, I remember, and that's why I was kind of mentioning, you know, between 2012 and 16, right? I was this kid who was into basketball, into culture, into so many things, right? Mm-hmm. You know, video games, just something, like, all things that a kid would do, right? You know, it was also during that time where there was quite, you know, not to get political, but unrest, you know, conflict in the area. And I remember it was a Christmas, it was sometime around Christmas, right? Okay. And I was at my grandma's house.
What year again?
2013. Okay. 2013. And I remember, it was 2013, New Year's Eve. I was pretty much just at my grandma's house. You know, it was like a morning, you know, nice weather. I just had my jammies on, you know, good breakfast, whatever. All of a sudden, you just hear, like, you would think, you know, glass broke. You would think so, like a plate shattered or like something just went off, or like someone just playing like a movie really loud. You just hear, boof, the loudest fucking explosion I've ever heard in my life, and it wasn't even that close proximity wise, but you can just hear it. They didn't just turn
sounded,
on the news.
It sounded closer than it was, type thing.
Dude, it was a car bomb. Someone planted some sort of C4 under a car. It might have been like a Toyota or something. But, dude, as far as collateral damage, I was like, dude, like, what? Like, something like that you see on TV, and I mean, I was just shocked, right? And the reason why that I'm even mentioning this is someone from Lebanon. Look, for the people that specifically grew up in the Gulf, which is like, you know, like Dubai or like the United Arab Emirates, Saudi, Qatar, like that kind of thing. The majority of the population, right, is this generation between, you know, kids that are born in the 2000s up to 2010, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of mainly Levantine parents, you know, coming from Syria, Jordan, et cetera. Lebanon, I guess Palestine as well, whatever. Where, you know, they kind of had to escape like those conflicts, and, you know, they wanted to start, you know, a new so-called perfect life, you know, for specifically for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, there's always a high emphasis on, you know, doing good as a student, having a family, getting money, this and that, and, you know, obviously doing ventures that, you know, pay well, be it medicine, you know, engineering. Because for some place like the States, you know, doing all these creative ventures, you know, that was like the perfect opportunity here. And it makes sense like why it kind of came to play. But it was something so unorthodox and new to the other side of the world where it doesn't even exist. But seeing as now that, you know, there's the realities that do exist and you see people having these successes, right? It kind of makes you wonder, oh, that you could do that as well. So long story short, when it comes to like that kind of, I guess, diaspora, that generation, yes, for sure, all these professional ventures are important 100%, right? One thing that for me, I always love, because my father was like, kind of works until this day, you know, banking and sales specifically. Sales is probably one of the best things ever. And I kind of integrate it with everything, be it music, DJing, all that stuff, right?
Good getting your word across.
Dude, sales is how life works. Communication, learning about one another, getting to really tap into their psychology. Just, and it's not like...
That's what my major is at BSU.
Really? Dude, yeah. Like the thing is, you'd be surprised. Like, yes, I talk or whatever, but it's not just to talk for the sake of speaking, but like, you know, you really want to get to know people more, right?
Because everyone has their own
You really
want
to make motion with things. That's just how the world works. And that's why for, like, as my last, you know, remark, my last message for parents now in this generation or getting kids that are going to be like maybe 20 years younger than newborns. For parents like mine, they never had any barrier on mine. They just knew money, boom, that's it. Just do things that are going to make legacies, that are going to make contributions. That's all it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Obviously, do it good, do it ethically, do it legally. Just do it right and make a contribution and you will make it, right? Definitely do not confine yourself, especially as a kid. Don't think that school is just the end of the world. Don't think that, oh, you're only confined to kind of like one kind of, you know, niche. You know, explore yourself, tap into what you're interested in, what fascinates you, what, you know, really engages your interest and that sort of thing. I found what mine was. It just like at the right place at the right time. And I'm rolling with that shit. And I'm hoping that these kind of words of these affirmations and inspiring words, you know, really move someone else to really do something like mine. And I hope that maybe I get to work with one of, you know, y'all, maybe one of your kids in the future who are, be it into art or music or that sort of thing. And hopefully we will all do great things and make the world a better place. Definitely get heads turning up, making worlds join into one. You know, Michael Jackson said, "We are the world." That, sorry to sidetrack, but that was actually, I think, my first performance ever. "We are the world," Michael Jackson.
We are the world.
It was, I think, the Haiti earthquake version.
The 2010 one?
Yeah. I remember we did that one. Fuck, good times, dude.
There was a time.
When you hear the say.
When the world. Ugh.
You see what I'm saying? Like, all these things kind of play together. And look, by the way, let me just say this. You will never, to the viewers watching, you will never, I mean never, ever find someone as neutral as me. Right? Like... I'm not even trying to get political, not just because it's the end of the fucking podcast, but I don't hold grudges or barriers for nobody, right? I'm at peace with what my beliefs are. I, for someone like me as a Lebanese, a byproduct of civil war, I don't even believe in like divide, right? I'm all about unity. Like whatever, you know, the way of your expressiveness is, we just blend it together. That's how yin and yang works, right? These complete polar opposites of black and white, they're not good or bad. Putting them together, you have something completely new. That's why, especially me coming to America here, like, you get to meet all people from all parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
a lot of diversity.
Dude, big time. You know, Asians. I guess, especially, shout out my Caribbean people. Much love. I fucking love y'all. Africans, right? Especially a lot of religions here, you know, like say, shout out my Jewish people. Y'all are fucking legends as well, right? Like, I've even met here, you know, Israelis and Palestinians. Like, that, dude. Especially in a context of university where the reason why that we're here for education, you know what I mean? Like we're all here to really make something of ourselves. We can't hold barriers back with one another, right?
That's true.
That's why for someone that me in the other side of the world, I lived in that kind of bubble. Not that I was, you know, restricted to any sort of knowledge or whatever, but it, you know, things kind of play out in a way, you know, for the best of us, for the better of us, but eventually you kind of come to your conclusions, to your, you know, reasonings of why, you know, you do things that you do, what you want to learn, what you want to know, what you want to do as well. And everything plays out and you would be surprised how much, you know, maybe just something as simple as traveling or meeting on the other side of the world can really, you know, change things like that overnight, make things work out in such a way that it just changes your entire mindset and makes you really at peace with yourself.
That's true.
So I hope that these words move someone and changes the world for the better, starting tomorrow or starting now.
I love that. And one of my closing remarks is I just wanted to say, before I say anything else, is I'm glad that you're here, my friend, because that thing you said just now.
Tell me you're the fucking dog, dude. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too, my friend, because you mentioned the thing about how sadly there's people who, you know, lost limbs and sadly are here in general. It's like when you said that there was a chance that you possibly couldn't have been here. I can't imagine a life like that, because you mentioned it about how, like, the fact that it's really great that we're here in general. It's kind of like using like a time machine where it's like you change one little thing, your existence and stuff. You change one little thing. You move a chair in a different way. Things are
butterfly
different.
Butterfly effect.
The fact that you're here, you know? We talked about this on our intermission. We have great support systems. We're both well-known individuals with great hearts. And I mentioned all the similarities earlier, but the fact that we're making this legendary moment happen, thank you so much for wanting to be on the pod.
Dude.
I appreciate
it. Legendary episode. And I've watched a bunch of the other ones, and I have yet to like kind of complete them and stuff. But as far as the conversations and the way they take, and, you know, just kind of really hearing other people's stories, I'm just glad that I'm on here, dude. Thank you so much.
Anytime, sir. Anytime.
Thank you so much.
What's amazing is people are going to be driving down, listening to it on their radio, and be like,
hopefully, yes, they do.
This guy's spitting. Chevy spitting, bro. He's spitting. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in.
Thank you for, thank you for everyone listening. And is there anything else that
would I would I be able to plug my socials? Y'all can follow me on Instagram at Sheb Mansour. That's at SHEBMANSOUR. Check me out.
That's right.
The whole what's it called? Work's coming. Definitely in terms of musical palette, I don't hold any barriers to a particular sound. Everything just kind of plays out as far as inspiration, and everything cohesively just works together. Definitely making my way up to the top, because I am in control of my own reality, and hopefully you can be as well and make a difference for yourself. And just because someone like me is doing it and others try, that does not make it oversaturated. That just makes us one of nuns. You know what I mean? Like, we are all unique individuals. All of us here on this earth, we are not an oversaturated population of, what, 7 to 8 billion people. To have that kind of population growth, we all have a duty to make greatness, small or big.
Well said, my friend.
And slowly goes up from here. Watch this.
That's the thing. I'm going to leave it off on this. When he becomes big, people are going to look back on this with his first interview. And I'm honored to be the first interview for someone who I know has bright future ahead.
We'll catch you all soon. The Peterson Podium podcast isn't going anywhere. It's sticking around. Sticking around, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, it is. Y'all have a great night.
Thank you for listening, and also enjoy life.
Yeah.
Bye.